Part 3. Memory, Movement and Music. Chapter 15. In the Moment. Music and Amnesia. You are the music while the music lasts. T.S. Eliot, The Four Quartets. In January 1985, his wife records, Clive Waring, an eminent English musician and musicologist in his mid-40s, was reading The Lost Mariner, a piece I had written about a patient with severe amnesia. My patient, Jimmy, I wrote, was isolated in a single moment of being, with a moat or lacuna of forgetting all around him. He is a man without a past or future, stuck in a constantly changing, meaningless moment. Jimmy's story, The Lost Mariner, was published in The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. Clive and I, Deborah Waring wrote in her memoir, Forever Today, could not get this story out of our heads and talked about it for days. They had no way of knowing that they were, as Deborah put it, staring into a mirror of our own future. 2 months later, Clive himself was struck by a devastating brain infection, a herpes encephalitis, affecting especially the parts of his brain concerned with memory, and he was left in a state far worse, even, than that of the patient I had described. Jimmy had a memory span of about half a minute. With Clive, it was only a few seconds. New events and experiences were effaced almost instantly, as Deborah wrote. His ability to perceive what he saw and heard was unimpaired, but he did not seem to be able to retain any impression of anything for more than a blink. Indeed, if he did blink, his eyelids parted to reveal a new scene. The view before the blink was utterly forgotten. Each blink, each glance away and back, brought him an entirely new view. I tried to imagine how it was for him. Something akin to a film with bad continuity, the glass half empty, then full, the cigarette suddenly longer, the actor's hair now tousled, now smooth. But this was real life, a room changing in ways that were physically impossible. In addition to this inability to preserve new memories, Clive had a devastating retrograde amnesia, a deletion of virtually his entire past. When he was filmed in 1986 for Jonathan Miller's extraordinary BBC documentary, Prisoner of Consciousness, Clive showed a desperate aloneness, fear, and bewilderment. He was acutely, continually, agonizingly conscious that something bizarre, something terrible, was the matter. His constantly repeated complaint, however, was not of a faulty memory, but of being deprived in some uncanny and terrible way of all experience, deprived of consciousness and life itself. As Deborah wrote, it was as if every waking moment was the first waking moment. Clive was under the constant impression that he had just emerged from unconsciousness, because he had no evidence in his own mind of ever being awake before. I haven't heard anything, seen anything, touched anything, smelled anything, he would say. It's like being dead. Desperate to hold on to something, to gain some purchase, Clive started to keep a journal, first on scraps of paper, then in a notebook. But his journal entries consisted essentially of the statements, I am awake, or I am conscious, entered again and again every few minutes. He would write, 2:10 p.m., this time properly awake. 2:14 p.m., this time finally awake. 2:35 p.m., this time completely awake, along with negations of these statements. At 9:40 p.m., I awoke for the first time, despite my previous claims. This in turn was crossed out, followed by, I was fully conscious at 10:35 p.m. and awake for the first time in many, many weeks. This in turn was cancelled out by the next entry. This dreadful journal, almost void of any other content but these passionate assertions and denials, intending to affirm existence and continuity but forever contradicting them, was filled anew each day, and soon mounted to hundreds of almost identical pages. It was a terrifying and poignant testament to Clive's mental state, his lostness, in the years that followed his amnesia, a state that Deborah, in Miller's film, called a never-ending agony.